You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national, man, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, we cover down on it. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Friday, Fri-yay, we like to say around here. Boomer's on the board. Brother, it's Friday.
It is Friday.
Hit it. Fri-yay. There it is. End of the week. You made it. Everybody made it. We made it to the end of the week. And I don't want to brag or anything, but I made it pretty high on the bracket.
Stop.
Brother, I ain't going to brag or anything.
But I'm pretty low on the bracket, and I'm going
to
brag about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about the bracket here in a minute, but I'm getting a kick out of this.
It's fun.
I'm trying to figure out how this happened, but I'm number four in the bracket right now, and I do not know how that's happening. Because it is not like I am a basketball aficionado of any kind. Very cool. All right, and by the way, just because it's the right side bracket does not mean I had any influence. They still got to win their game, so, you know, just saying. War Eagle, there you go. All right, Boomer's just loving it.
I am.
Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today, Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute will be on. We'll talk about government spending. We'll talk about how things have been going down in Montgomery, get her perspective as the head of Alabama's lead conservative policy institute. And so we'll talk with Stephanie Smith at 3 o'clock. And then at 3:30, one of the state senators who just literally got out of session, I called him to check and make sure he was good to be on the show. He said, "I'm pulling in my driveway now." And I said, "Well, then you are gooder right now than you were before." So State Senator Garland Gudger from Cullman will be on the show at 3:30. We'll talk with him about the spending bills that flew through the legislature yesterday. But we'll also talk about his bill, the one that I had hoped was going to come up already, but is probably going to come up again very soon. And we'll talk about that at 3:30 with State Senator Garland Gudger from Cullman. And then on top of all that, we got a triple dipper. Hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. We're starting off with number one, the big spend. The big spend, I'm talking about. Dang, some money's flying through the checkbooks down in Montgomery right now. On top of which, have you heard what they did with the prison construction? Did they just double the prison construction cost, like, overnight and just, like, in the quiet of a back room? We'll talk about it. The big spend, number one on the triple dipper. Number two, I'm calling this one fighting back. So, you know, we do woke world sometimes. We talk about wokeness out there. What I love is when I find a series of articles as I'm resourcing the show that clearly indicates conservatives are fighting back. And I've got some great stories about fighting back against wokeness. And so that's what the whole dipper is called, fighting back. And then number three, I'm calling this one virtue signaling fails. It's amazing to me. I mean, I run businesses. I know what it takes to try to make a paycheck happen. It's amazing to me how some of these corporations have been throwing money, literally throwing money, at groups like Black Lives Matter over the last few years. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like, wow, could we cure the national debt first, please? Virtue signaling fails. We'll talk about that as number three on the triple dipper. Now, let me jump over here to my comments, and I'm going to just, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I played some character or another all the time. My brother, my friends, my cousins, we were forever playing superheroes or soldiers or camping out and playing cowboys. I mean, the first men on the moon stepped out onto the surface of that moon when I was a kid, so you better believe we played astronaut. It was called imagination, and it was awesome. And while I did grow up to be a soldier, I never became a cowboy. I certainly never became an astronaut. At the end of the day, I'd be called in for dinner. The toys went by the wayside, and so did the imaginary identity. And I'm sure there were times when I wanted to bring my superhero cape to the table and maybe Mom let me. But there was never a time, never, when I was able to just insist that she call me by a new name. I don't mean pretending. I mean demanding. My name is not my name anymore, and you will call me Stupendous Man. And I will wear a cape every day, and you will let me, and you will do as I say, because I am the child in this house, and that puts me in charge. Well, yeah, that would have lasted maybe as long as it took for the words to leave my mouth before I would have been corrected. Corrected, and yet still loved. Because, you know, we're actually allowed to correct kids, especially on questions of their identity. In fact, I would say that the love of a parent would already know that. But the left does not want you to know that. The left is determined that you know that the whims of a child about their identity, who they actually believe they are in every sense, that a child can change that. And the parent must go along with it. And I'm here to affirm for everyone listening that that is not the case. Yesterday, I watched in disbelief as the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, how did she get elected? The lieutenant governor of Minnesota made some of the most egregious comments I have ever heard come out of the mouth of any elected official. A video of Minnesota's Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan speaking at a transgender rights rally was posted on social media. Now, I don't know if she was just pandering or really feels this way or both, but her comments about parents raising transgender children were beyond the pale. In a typical uber-liberal fashion, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan said in her most condescending, "I know better than you silly people" voice, "When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them. That's what it means to be a good parent," she said condescendingly. Let me quote that for you again. Quote, "When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them. That's what it means to be a good parent." It just made me want to gag. The comments came on the heels of her governor, Tim Walz, signing legislation that made Minnesota a so-called transgender refuge state, whatever that means. The comments on her ill-informed parenting advice began almost immediately, but let me join in here with my own. By her logic, I should not be a grown man. I should be a superhero able to leap tall buildings in a single bound because I said so when I was a child. Or maybe I should be a mountain man because I did want to be a mountain man. Or a cowboy. Or here's a good one. I should be a cartoon character, and another cartoon character named Johnny Quest is my best friend. Because all those things were my occasional pretend identities as a child. I was constantly playing one character or another, running around the house with toy guns and bow and arrows and jumping off the stairs with a toy parachute, although I did become a paratrooper. But here's the thing. Peggy Flanagan is wrong. A parent's role is not to affirm every notion that a child thinks, says, or acts out. A parent's role is to lovingly affirm a child in the actual identity that they were given by God, to let them know that they are not a mistake, that they were not born wrong, and to also lovingly encourage their imaginations and creativity while also helping them to mature into adults who can sort out fact from fiction, reality from fantasy. The rage that we're seeing from the progressive left right now is creating what I heard one pastor recently call a pandemic of identity. I see things through various lenses. Physical, mental, emotional, legal, political, we all do. And one of those lenses that I see through is certainly spiritual. And in my opinion, the crisis before us right now is the constant yammering of the enemy and those on the left who have given into it to mandate the thought that somehow an imagined identity trumps a real identity. Now, why is this such a big deal? Because when you doubt your identity, you're automatically at risk. When you doubt your actual identity, you have opened the door for any thing, any notion, any ideology to step in and fill that void. And that's the basis for all spiritual battles. Now think about this for a minute, something I had never realized until recently. You may have heard the story about Jesus in the wilderness. Before really initiating his ministry on earth, Jesus, we're told in Scripture, he spent a month and a half in the wilderness fasting, praying, and being tempted by Satan. In Matthew 4, we're told that the very first thing that Satan did to try and undermine Jesus, the very first thing out of the enemy's mouth, was to try and undermine in Jesus' own mind what his identity was. I'd never seen this before. He did it with the first word of his temptation when he said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." If. Not since you're the Son of God, do that. He said, "If you're the Son of God." The passage tells us that Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. Now, he was a physical man, so you knew he was hungry. And I have always seen that passage as meaning that he could have had food to break his fast if he wanted to. But no, that passage changed for me when someone pointed out that what was happening there was he was being given a chance to deal with his identity. If you are who you say you are, then do something about it. Prove it. If you are all that, then be all that. But Jesus was confident enough in his own identity to not have to do anything. He had nothing to prove. He was already affirmed in who he was. In his case, I suspect that Jesus drew his strength from God the Father, but based on what we know about his earthly parents, I would bet that he also had been lovingly affirmed as he grew up on this earth. So take that as an example of the power of affirmation, but also as a rejection of this new, or maybe not so new, attack on identity. If a child believes that they are somehow in the wrong body, it's the role of a good parent, contrary to the misguided parenting advice of Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, to let that child know, you're actually perfect. You are the best one. There is only one like you. And if they were born a girl and they like to roughhouse and run barefoot through the woods, it might just mean that they're just a bit of a tomboy, but they're still a girl. And if a little boy is slight in stature and likes to do quiet things, it might just mean he's a little wiry, smart dude, but he's still a boy. And that's okay. And you're not a bad parent for saying so. We need to affirm our kids. But that does not mean that we have to affirm their every whim, and we certainly don't have to affirm their concerns about their identity. We need to put an end to this pandemic of identity. And the only cure for that, the only cure for the pandemic of identity, is to affirm to them that they are not a mistake. They are fine the way they were born. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there it is. Yeah, I would... I'd be a superhero or a mountain man or whatever. By the way, kudos to Allie from Athens who pointed me out this pastor who had a sermon that sort of inspired that monologue. But yeah, folks, I'm going to tell you, affirm those kids. Affirm them for who they are, not for who they want to pretend that they are. Affirm them, and they will grow up to know with confidence that they don't have anything to prove, that they just are who they were born to be. All right, folks, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Oh, man. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, the phone lines, the text lines are already open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number. Bunch of folks are already texting in, some about the monologue and some about the bracket, which we'll get into the bracket here momentarily. I'm proud to talk about the bracket, just so you know. Just
feeling, of course you are.
Feeling pretty saucy about the bracket right now. Steve from Owens Crossroads just texted in regarding about the monologue. He says, next you're going to tell us you wanted to be Will Robinson. That was the kid from Lost in Space. That may or may not have occurred. Yes, I do believe. Hans from Biloxi says, I don't know what he's saying to me. I know Hans from Biloxi was saying that the live stream was messed up at first and all it was a refresh. So yeah, that's all good to go.
He was, and he's like, man, I wish y'all were in Mobile also.
Oh, maybe we can work that out one day.
Maybe soon.
Maybe
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll just keep teasing that.
Keep just throwing it out there.
Just saying. What else we got? John from Brownsboro says, my son has been walking around the house saying that he's four. He's been walking around the house saying he's a puppy. My one-year-old's a kitty. I haven't gone out looking for any way to extend his vestigial tail, nor have I given him any flea medicine. Perfect. Where are we? Got to go down the text line here for a minute. Wow, JT from Lacey Springs, his mom used to square him away. She basically said for arrogant speech or an attitude as a youngster, my mom would threaten to slap me with a wet hand. I was wise enough to never receive that action. John from Huntsville says, Johnny Quest is awesome. Man, this thing's refreshing, so slow. Says Johnny Quest is awesome, especially his dog Bandit. Yes, I'll be honest with you. I wanted Johnny Quest to be my friend, and there were times I just wanted to be Johnny Quest. Just... me and my buddy Haji and my dog Bandit out there running around saving the world. Just cool. Jeremy from Huntsville, a little bit longer text, but it's a good one. He says, our taste changes every 7 years. I hated spicy when I was a kid. It cut off my ability to taste spicy when I was 9 years old. I'd be very angry for missing out and not being able to experience spicy as an adult. Kids need to experience the tough times and the easy times. Let them grow through and learn from those things with adult wisdom and guidance is what makes a real parent. Otherwise, the parent is just a donor. Wow. Man, put that on a sign on the wall. Jeff from Indiana asked a great question. What in the world's going on in Minnesota? I don't know, Jeff. It's just like it's out of control, man. He said, this is the same state that Jesse the Body Ventura was governor and stood on the steps of the Capitol and told women it wasn't the state's fault you got pregnant. What a change. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Jesse Ventura. He was not known to, use tact in any case. What do we got here? Something came in on a meme somebody sent. Influencers. What's the difference between a social media influencer and a philosophy major? The philosophy major needed a degree to be useless. That was from Glenn from Bluntsville. But let's shift gears for a minute. We got a couple minutes here. I will point out that the Boomer set up the right side NCAA March Madness bracket.
Yes.
And it's working, bro.
It's working. I mean, it's not working for me very well.
It depends on who you are.
Yeah. That's what it is.
I don't know what you did, but I came into today in number 4, and by the time the show started, I was number 8.
Yeah.
Did you do something?
I just said, hey, you got to lose.
And right now, Auburn is leading.
Auburn won.
Oh, it's already over?
It's already over.
It must have just happened. Auburn beat Iowa.
Yeah.
Auburn's already in the second round, going to the third round.
They're going to be in the 16.
Oh, my gosh. What is happening? What is happening right now? Is it a sign of the end times?
Man.
So Auburn's already in with, Miami? Going to round 3?
We don't know yet.
No, we don't know
we
yet.
We don't know yet.
That's right.
None of those have played.
Okay.
So we will see through the weekend.
Well, then why does my bracket show somebody in that third spot there with the Sweet 16?
Oh, well, it's the one you chose right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I got you.
It's the one you chose.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll see. All I know is. Now, wait. Auburn beat Iowa, and now Auburn has beaten. That's right. That's right. Auburn beat Iowa. Okay. Got you. I'm good.
You're good. That's all you care about. Auburn beat Iowa.
Oh, by the way, other teams in the bracket. No, seriously, though, but I am actually sitting here rather shocked at my rankings. But I'm getting a kick out of this. So a bunch of y'all are in it. We got 170 members of our bracket. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome.
You did this.
It's fun to see this.
You did this.
I did this.
You did this. The Boomer did this.
The Boomer. Boomer had a good idea.
This Boomer did have it. Boomer has good ideas. I'm loving this. So all you right side ruffians that are out there in the bracket, keep track of your figures and your be aware that we'll be checking this thing daily, sometimes 3 times daily, because as the games go on, man, we're gonna start seeing some serious change.
After this weekend, there'll be some serious change, and then it'll be like dead period until Thursday or Friday of next week.
Well, they got to catch their breath and something on their blisters. But yeah, all right, man. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back, jumping on into that triple dipper, the big spend is what I call it. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.